exercise this morning. Amen. Take your hands.
Do like that. If you can do that, I want you to stop. And I want you to count and fold from 10 down to 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's one left. Remember that one.
One of the greatest sins is the failure to be grateful for the blessings that we have. We are, or we can be, ungrateful, entitled, and spoiled. Do we have any ungrateful people that we know? Thank God you're not that one. Do we have any entitled people that we know? With this great sense of entitlement. Thank God we're not that one. Do we know people that are spoiled? Thank God we're not that one. We know that life can be challenging, and sometimes when we get in situations, we find it hard to be thankful for something. Amen? In challenging situations, gratitude is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. Ingratitude, whether passive or active, is a tool that Satan uses. Let me say that again because I didn't get enough amens. As a matter of fact, I got none. So it must be hitting a point somewhere. That ingratitude, whether passive or active, is a tool that Satan uses. It is a poison. It can be used to turn us away from God and his family. By succumbing to thanklessness, we allow him to plant us as tares within the church and spread our ingratitude to others. Whenever you're someplace and you're ungrateful, it's up to somebody to either point that out or remove you from it because you can affect others. I had a job and I didn't know. I'm going to tell you how God is. I had a job. They moved me from one job to another, from one position to another position, from one floor to another floor, from one barrel to another barrel. After 32 years. And I was pretty ungrateful that they were doing this to me. So I walked in every day and I had this disposition about me. And nobody talked to me and nobody bothered me. Have you ever been in that position? I mean, not you, but you've seen somebody, right? Not you. But you've seen somebody that had this disposition and you just left them alone. Every day when they walked in, they brought in this spirit. That was me. So the boss decided that they needed to do something with me. So they sent me to Patmos, like they sent John. So they sent me from Manhattan to Staten Island because I was a bad seed. But see, God worked that out. Because when I got there, I was 15 minutes away from work. When I got there, I was able to study for my degrees 6 out of the 8 hours I was there. I wouldn't have been able to do that in Manhattan. But see, God worked it out because he used me in a way that I didn't even know that he was using me. He was placing me in a place that I was ungrateful for, but in the ungratefulness, God out his major plan for me. Amen? So while you're being ungrateful in some situations, God might be working something out for you. Today, the effects of ingratitude, we experience discouragement, depression, and anger. Even when our world is falling apart, we must remind ourselves that God is good. Amen? In those times, we should be praising God and thanking God for what he's doing. Because when you praise and you thank God for the situations he placed you in, it becomes the cure. It becomes a solution. It becomes the answer. Amen? The scripture commands us to have thankful hearts. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. So if you've gotten out of the habit of being thankful, it's time for you to get back in spiritual shape. This morning we're going to look at in the book of Luke, where during this period of Jesus' journey, he began going back and forth. Amen. His journey really starts in the 9th chapter in verse 51, and it's recorded that he moved in the direction of Jerusalem. Jesus was already preparing himself for the final destination. But his final destination isn't a direct route. I want you to know this morning that when God is doing something in your life and he's going to take you somewhere, it's not always a direct route. Sometimes there's hills to climb, valleys to go down. But during this time, during these months and months of ministry, Jesus had performed many healings and many miracles and casting out a lot of demons. And although there were multiple teachings of his ministering, he moved his disciples and the apostles around the land. However, Luke records these miracles. But there's something about Luke when he records these miracles I want you to acknowledge today. Even though the Bible says we can't even calculate the number of miracles, because the Bible says there's plenty of miracles he did that wasn't recorded, Luke recorded these five. But in the 17th chapter of Luke, in verses 11 through 19, Luke focuses on a miracle that involves 10 people. 10 people. The disease is leprosy. It is one of the most terrible diseases at that time. Amen? So the scripture says, if you can turn it to Luke 17, 11 to 19, the scripture says, and it came about while he was on his way to Jerusalem, that as he was passing between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who turned back to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go. Your way, your faith has saved you. That's one version. Another version says, and he said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And then there's another version that says, And Jesus said to the man, your faith has healed you. Three different acknowledgments of the same miracle. One, his faith saved him. One, his faith made him whole. Another one, his faith has healed him. Now, in the fifth chapter of Luke, Jesus healed a leper, only one. Amen? In chapter 5, verses 12, he healed one leper. But this miracle that he did this time, he did it 10 times, the one time. Anytime you could do something 10 times, the one time you did something, it shows more power. It shows more anointing. Amen? This demonstration of divine power is unmistakable and undeniable. You see, you can do something one time, and the skeptics will say, well, do it again. Amen? Have you ever done something one time, and somebody says, well, do it again? I don't believe you. Do it again. You know the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all the naysayers of Jesus, when he healed the one, they figured, you know, they didn't believe Jesus was God. Let's see you do it again. But when Jesus does something in your life, he don't just do it again. He does it greater than he did it the first time. He did it 10 times more. Oh, hallelujah. So when you go through something and your naysayers want to see you just get over, God gives you an abundance. Somebody know what I'm talking about here. Some haven't yet experienced this. But when God blesses you, he gives you an abundance. Jesus did it 10 times, and there was absolutely no way that the priests could deny Jesus' power. They could not deny his compassion and his sympathy towards those who suffered. God was manifesting his compassion and his power as much because these miracles were miracles of mercies, because these people suffered. Lepers of all people were the most avoided. That's why the scripture said they stood at a distance. They were already trained with what they have. They stood at a distance. Do you know that the enemy can train you to do things with what you have? You see, the first leper that he cured was one man, but he didn't speak to Jesus at a distance. He came up and touched him. But the 10, oh my God, you know, you got to know where I'm going with this. Because the 10 were trained by the world not to get near. Because you have this disease. The world has trained us that when we have diseases or illnesses or something wrong, don't touch. Don't get close. Stay your distance. But Jesus don't care whether you touch him or not. He prefers to be touched. The woman with the issue of blood touched him. She didn't say, come heal me. She didn't scream out, Lord, I got this. She reached out and touched. Some of us gotta reach out and touch. Oh, hallelujah. We know through the gospel that people thought that people had these kind of sins, these sicknesses, because of sins. And because they had this specific one, they thought and they believed that it was divine judgment, that there is no cure. Ah, the world still got us trained today. There's certain diseases that are going on right now, and the world wants you to believe that there's no cure. That you're done already. you might as well throw in the towel. Oh, hallelujah. But Jesus is the cure. All you got to do is reach out and touch him. All you got to do is reach out, because he's moving towards you. All he needs you to do is a little bit. Just do a little bit and he'll do the rest. When Jesus healed the leper in Luke 5, he told them, don't tell nobody. He said, don't tell nobody. Can you keep a secret? Don't tell nobody. Can you hold it in? Don't tell nobody. I know you're happy. I know you're enthused. I know you're excited. I know you're healed. But don't tell nobody. But that one, he couldn't hold it in. He had to tell everybody about that somebody. That one, he told everybody. Jesus wanted a whole avalanche of people coming after him. So he said, don't tell nobody. But the 10. He told the 10. I'm going to stop looking at notes right now. I'm going to ad lib. Because I know what I'm talking about. I know what I read. I know what I studied. Oh, hallelujah. But the 10. He said, go. He didn't touch them. He just said, go. But let me tell you about something. They had weak faith. They had weak faith. They were waiting. We're always waiting for the sky to open up. For the horns to start sounding. For people to start shouting around. For the glory of God to be where it's supposed to be. It ain't always that way. Oh, hallelujah. They had little faith. You see, because if they had a lot of faith, they would have just believed they're right there. They had to take their faith, their little weak faith, and get a walking. Come on, somebody. They had to take their little bit of faith and keep walking. You can't stand near Jesus Christ with a little bit of faith. Sometimes he tell you to get to walking. They didn't have nothing to lose. They had nothing to lose. Oh, hallelujah. They had nothing to lose. When you got nothing to lose, you'll try anything. They said, Master. The word master that they use in that scripture, they were talking to somebody they know that they had power. They were talking to somebody who had the authority. And that was their last chance at life. Because when you had that disease, you are outcast. You are outcast. You are outcast. You couldn't be near nobody. You don't got no wife no more because you can't be near her. You don't have kids no more because you can't be near them. You don't have neighbors except the lepers just like you. You are cast off. These 10, they were looking. You know, they was at their last straw. The Bible says their voices were weak. Master. 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 But he heard them. Sometimes we think if we scream loud enough, it makes a difference. if we pray loud enough, it makes a difference. These men could hardly talk, but they called the master, master of all authority, master of all power, master of mercy, master of grace. Have mercy upon us. He made them walk to demonstrate their faith. They had nothing else to show them that they are healed, but as they were walking, come on, somebody. Sometimes you just gotta walk in faith and know that you're getting your healing. Know that your deliverance is happening right now. Knowing that your breakthrough is coming through because God has got you. He said, go tell the priest, go show yourself. Go show yourself to them, because that was the law. If you were healed, you had to go to the priest and let them declare you clean. Hallelujah. You can't walk around saying I'm clean. You know what? You know, I always got ouch moments in my sermon. So no, don't I? Too many people walking around announcing themselves clean. And they ain't clean. They're walking around in their faith. Little faith, but their faith. You know, that's all the faith that they can have at this point in their life. But God says, give me what you got. And he realized that's all that they could give him. What I can give him is what I can give him. What you can give him is what you can give him. But he knows if you're giving your all. That was all that they could give him. And he accepted it. Show the priest. So that showed that Jesus followed the law. Even though he's God, he still followed the law. But he knew that when he sent them there, there's no denying of his power. When they had to declare them clean, everybody had to know Jesus Christ cleansed these people. But as they're walking, the 10 of them together, oh, hallelujah, they're walking. Oh, hallelujah, they're walking. They can feel themselves getting better. Can you feel yourself getting better sometimes? They can feel themselves getting cleansed. They can feel themselves getting better. And they're walking full of joy. Oh, hallelujah. But one stopped and turned around. Oh, he realized, I need to have some gratitude. I need to thank the Lord. I need to thank Jesus for what he has done for me. I can't worry about the other nine over there. They're going to do what they want to do, but I got to thank God. I got to thank the Lord. Sometimes we go through something. Don't get caught up in your healing or your deliverance that you can't thank the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We get caught up in the joy unspeakable, but we forgot to thank the person that gave it to us. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Y'all are doing real good here because I got 18 pages and I'm just going through it. This could have been a 2-hour sermon. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus says, go to the priest. Hallelujah. But this man says, before I go to the priest, I got to thank God. I want to talk about the nine right now. I want to talk about the nine. Let me tell you something about the nine. When they're going, they're saying, I'm going to go to the temple now. Oh, hallelujah, like I used to be able to go. I'm going to go talk to the priest to the rabbis like I used to be able to do. I'm going to talk to my wife like I used to be able to do. I'm going to pray with my kids like I used to be able to do. I'm going to go hang out with the fellas like I used to be able to do. But when God does something like this in your life, you're not supposed to go back and do the things you used to. Healing is not for the used to be person you used to be. Somebody, come on. This one was changed. He understood. Let me tell you something. There could be 10 of us that will walk in as sinners and get saved, but there's one that really understood the transformation in their life that happened. And I bet many of you, when you counted down, that last one that you had up was your pinky, the little one. Not the big one, the little one. God uses the little one. When he went to get his disciples, he didn't get lawyers. He didn't get dentists. He got the little one. He got the fisherman. Oh, hallelujah. He got the tax collector that everybody hated. Hallelujah. He didn't go for the big fish. He went for the little one. He didn't go for the one that would agree with him all the time. He wanted the one that would take him to task, that would make him prove himself. Come on, Thomas, I don't want to talk about you. But he went after the naysayers. Because when they're obedient, oh, they're obedient. Hallelujah. The most ignorant disciple that he had became his rock. The most ignorant one that he had became the rock. He told that one, when the devil tried to take over him, devil, get behind me. Jesus didn't come down here for everybody to agree with him. He knew there would be a fight. If you're a Christian, don't think that you got saved and everybody going to agree with you. Be ready for the fight. And if you ain't ready, get ready. Because the devil going to try to knock you down. You're going to have to get back up. Oh, hallelujah. I talked about the nine. Oh, hallelujah. Now I want to talk about the one. Luke said that when Jesus healed the leper, that he came back glorifying God with a loud voice. Have you ever seen somebody really getting delivered? Really getting pressed in the way through? You can't contain them. You can't control them. Their body is all out of control because in a loud voice and with their body, they are giving God the glory. It don't just happen when people are getting demons delivered out of them. It happens when people are rejoicing in the Lord as well. The Bible says, Luke emphasizes that there's a big voice that comes out in praising the Lord. Amen? When Elizabeth, oh hallelujah, when Elizabeth was told and filled with the Holy Ghost and told that she was going to have this baby, John the Baptist, they said that she cried out in a loud voice. When Jesus met the man on the other side of the water that he specifically went to see after he fed the thousands, the man knew who Jesus was. He cried out in a loud voice. In a loud voice. Jesus, what are you doing here? Why are you turmoiling me? He knew who Jesus was. When you know who Jesus is, it creates an emotion. It creates a loud voice in you. You go tell your people. You go tell your neighbors. You go tell your husbands, your wives, your co-workers who he is and what is he to you. This man, this one, he comes back glorifying God, meaning he knew where the power had come from. He knew who had healed him. He knew that Jesus was more than just a man. And he knew that Jesus was a Jew and he was a Samaritan. But despite the hatred those cultures have for one another, he didn't care. He worshiped Jesus. He could not restrain his praise. He could not restrain his worship. He could not restrain his thanks. But the Bible tells me, when I read the Bible, more importantly than that, it was his posture. Because the Bible says that he fell down on his knees at the feet of Jesus. We don't like to bow down. We don't like to bow down. We're too busy wondering what people are going to think of us when we bow down. But this leper, former leper, didn't care what the other nine were thinking. He didn't care at all. As they were moving this way, he came back the opposite way. They were going to the temple. He was going to the temple of God. Because Jesus Christ was the temple of God. He was going back to meet God at the temple. Amen? They were going to the temple. But Jesus had already said that God doesn't dwell in those temples no more. God hadn't been in that temple. He departed that temple a long time. Jesus said, the time is coming. I want you to repeat this with me. The time is coming when you won't worship God in Jerusalem or in Mount Gerizim, because you're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. And you're going to worship him from the heart of any place. That means it don't make a difference where you be, where you go. When you worship God, it don't have to be in the building. God is going to be in here. The temple at that time was Jesus Christ. Wherever Jesus was, God was. And wherever God was, Jesus was. Wherever the power of God was, Jesus is. Wherever the grace of God is, Jesus is there as well. Jesus, the man knows it, and he knows that he needs more than a physical healing. Do you know when we get deliverance and we get healing in our bodies, that we need more than just a physical healing? What did you say, that most of things happen today is in people's mind? Your mind is not a physical healing. It's an emotional, it's a physical, it's not a physical, it's emotional, spiritual healing that takes place in here that comes down to here. And when you get it down to here, it'll take care of everything. God doesn't say he wants your head, he wants your heart. The devil tries to control your mind. God wants your heart. Jesus wants your heart. Is your heart in the right place this morning? I said, is your heart in the right place this morning? Is your heart in the right place this morning? Hallelujah. There's times that when your heart is not in the right place, you won't get what you came for. And Jesus uses these examples. Amen? He said, when the rich young ruler came looking for him, he said, give up what you got. The money was in the heart. I can't give that up. His heart was in his money. Amen? God uses all of these examples to show you that there's something more to healing and deliverance. It's you recognizing him as God. Recognizing him as your Lord and Savior. Recognizing that all power comes from above. Amen? And when you don't recognize that, you tend to do what you used to do when you're healed. Amen? Listen to this question that Jesus asked. And when Jesus asks a question, he always knows the answer. You know, he asks a question so you can think. He asks a question so you can get what he's trying to do, where he's at and where you're at. Remember, he said, were there not 10? What happened to the other 9? Wasn't there another 9? And then he says, was no one found to turn back to give glory to God except this stranger. It reminds me of John 1:11, where it says, he came unto his own, and his own not received him. Received him not. Are we Christ's own? Are you Christ's own? Are you Christ's own? Sometimes he comes, and you don't even receive him. Because he don't look like what you expecting him to look like. When we get caught up in self, we looking for one thing. And Christ is doing another. And we're not receiving what he's given us. Sometimes it takes the stranger. Because we get comfortable. It takes the stranger, come on, it takes the stranger, I'm going to wait till you get this, and I don't know when you get this, it takes the stranger, it takes the stranger to come in to tell you what you got. It takes a stranger. That's probably why God uses strange things to do things for us. But it takes a stranger to let you know what you got. You know, when you live in your own house and you get used to your own house, and you walk on the floor, and you go in the bathroom or wherever, you don't see the dirt there. But it takes a stranger to walk into your house and look around and say, man, this place is dirty. Somebody need to do some cleaning in here. Because you get too used to it. It's pretty quiet. Pretty quiet. You see, when we're too familiar with things, we get familiar spirits. There's a spirit of comfortability. There's a spirit of, what did I say in the beginning? Of entitlement. There's a spoiled spirit. And there's a spirit of ungratefulness. Why do I say that? Because every day that we wake up, we should wake up with a spirit of gratefulness. Every time God heals or delivers us or somebody that we've been praying for, we feel like we're entitled to it. But I'm going to tell you this morning, God heals people who have faith. He heals people who don't have faith. It's his choice. But regardless of whatever it is that he does for us as Christians, we must recognize that it's in his will. Because when you recognize that it's in his will, then those feeling of being ungrateful, you know that sin I talked about in the beginning, the sin of ungratefulness, that it can become a poison. When we realize that it's in his will, that poison that Satan wants to use, ungratefulness, entitlement, it won't be there. Oh, hallelujah. There's nothing like having somebody around you that feels entitled to something. Amen? There's nothing like having spoiled individuals around you, because like no matter what you do, they're never satisfied. Amen? The Bible says that we are children to the Most High. And we act just like children. Who knew? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, that what he said then is still true today. He knew, because the Bible is written under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Men took pens and wrote what was there was inspired to write. Nobody could know that but the Creator. Nobody could know that but the Creator. The Creator who knew that stuff's happening now that we never thought would happen. He wrote it. He had it written eons ago. Hallelujah. I know we tend to ignore what we read sometimes. But it's right there in the good book. That book hasn't changed in years. So here's what I'm going to say to you today. This man trusted Jesus. He had gratitude, humility, and commitment, love, praise, and worship. And all the components of his faith. Remember, he started with the same faith as the other nine. But the components of his faith increased, amen, way beyond the other nine. It's his faith that embraced Jesus as God, as Lord. It was his faith that made him bow down in recognition in God's presence. It was his faith that Jesus saved. It was the story of an individual. It started out as a group. See, when you trust in the Lord, you might start out with a group of people. And you might end up as an individual. Amen? As an individual. And that's okay. I say that because you individually got to meet your Maker. It is an individual relationship that you have with the Lord. Amen? This story is not about the one, but it's about the general attitude of people have towards Jesus. Give us healing. Thank you, Jesus. Give us food. Thank you, Jesus. Deliver us from demons. Thank you, Jesus. Give us a job. Thank you, Jesus. Do miracles. Thank you, Jesus. But don't expect worship. Don't expect worship. Don't expect praise. Don't think adoration. Don't think that I'm going to love you. Don't think that I'm going to worship you. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, you can experience the goodness and the common grace of God, as all of us do. The whole world does. When the sun shines in the morning, it don't shine just for me. It shines for everybody. That's how good God is. When the rain falls, it just don't fall on me. It rain on everybody. He don't wake up just to jest every day. There's a lot of unjust. He wakes up every day. He's the savior of temporary people. Hallelujah. Temporary people. You know, temporary people's like it'll rain 10 days and they say, thank God the sun is out. That's temporary. That ain't true. It's temporary. They're not really thanking God. They're just saying thanks. Thanks. Hallelujah. Because when you thank God, you live a life thanking unto God. You can be blessed by God in any way that he decides to, but he is the Savior. You can even be blessed to hear the stories of Jesus and the gospel truth. And you can say, I'll take what I can get. That's a gospel we're living in right now. People take what they can get. But it's all or nothing. He gives you all or nothing. He expects nothing less than that from you. I like my life the way it is. I'll take it. But you don't know God got so much more for you. Okay, God gave it to me. I thank him for it. Thank you, Jesus. You say, hear people say all the time, thank God I'm healthy. Thank God I can walk. Thank God I can talk. Thank God I have my children. Thank God, thank God, thank God. You're going to thank God walking right into eternal hell because you really are not thanking God. You're paraphrasing. You're making a statement. Have you ever said something and you didn't really know what it meant? Have you ever said something and you didn't know what it meant, but people say it, so you say it? I believe there's a lot of thanking God and people don't know what it really means. When you thank God, when you're appreciative of what God, who he is and what he is to you, you would thank God in a different way. So as we get ready to embark on a cultural dinner, on a Thanksgiving season, take the time to thank God. Truly, truly for what he is and who he is. He's the Alpha, he's the Omega. He's the bright and morning star. He knows from your life from the beginning to the end, but actually he wrote the end and created the beginning. Your days are numbered. Your days of giving thanks are numbered. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning.